Should you take five?
Yeah.
I'm Allie Grant.
And I'm Jess Yu.
Welcome to Follow Me, your resource for all things influencer.
Brought to you by Be Social Group.
Now, let's see who we're following this week.
Creating content that's designed for reach, for that top of your funnel, like that definitely has to be part of your strategy. Creating content that is designed to engage your existing followers, that's part of your strategy. Creating content that's designed to sell or something like that is part of your strategy. But there's different optimizations that you could do to really convert people from watching that reel into actually following you if they're not already following.
Hey guys, welcome to Follow Me Podcast, your resource for all things influencer marketing. Today, we are so excited to chat with content marketer and creator Taylor Loren about reels, mental health, content planning, TikTok, and more. Who are we following this week, Jessica?
Well, I think we were talking about our reinvigorated excitement for our own personal TikToks. So follow us.
Okay. So we are like the behind the scenes ladies, right? Like we help creators, we manage them, but we both thoroughly enjoy creating content ourselves. Like I actually like really enjoy creating TikToks and like throwing them up and I kind of live for it.
It gives me a little thrill, not going to lie.
Is it like the likes and the comments or like what's the thrill? Or like you just like enjoy kind of the creative planning?
I love the creative planning. Well, there are certain types to it because I am not like an aesthetics girl at all. Like I just like throwing things up, talking front-facing camera, and I think that works for TikTok. I think where we first started testing out TikTok ourselves or any other features actually is so that we can be a resource to our talent and we can speak confidently about the features that we're, you know, talking to our talent. But yeah, I think we both really enjoy it. Allie, like, I know you obviously are.
I mean, I love it. I'm kind of obsessed. And we talk about it in this episode, actually, about the fact that like Jess and I both would not post whatever we post on TikTok onto our Instagrams like ever, ever. And it's like this weird mentality of like treating the platform so differently, which it sounds like we need to get out of that mindset and start posting this content to our reels. You would never.
I think I would need to separate the two accounts. I would need to make like another account, because I think a lot of influencers actually do that. I want to say, because like I feel like Instagram, like we talk about in this episode, it feels like your Facebook. It feels so like personal and in your realm that TikTok, anyone can go viral and you're not really following. I mean, I have like a few friends on there, but you're not following them for life updates or personal things. It's like any other like streaming platform. It's for entertainment.
And you got like, you have followers. You have like 7,000 or 8,000 followers. How did you get that? You went like viral or something?
I think like my first few videos got a lot of traction, which is still a mystery to me because they were like low quality, I would say. But they were front facing camera, like talking to camera. So I think that really is still a thing on TikTok for growth. I rarely see any growth on my personal account on anything that's not front-facing talking to camera. Like it's a slower burn.
Interesting. But there's like so much of that content, you would think people would get bored of it. But I guess that's what people want to see. And Taylor talked about that. Like front-facing, speak to camera is how you grow on Instagram too.
Yeah, because people want your personality. I think that's what like...
What if you don't have a personality? Get off the internet.
Get off the internet.
Oh, God. Well, in this episode, we unpack a few things. I think the number one thing I wanted to talk to Taylor about was growing on Instagram because all of our clients ask about it. It seems like it's impossible, but to her, it's not. And she's grown her account from zero to like nearly 300,000 in less than a year. And she said she's growing 20,000 followers every week or every 2 weeks. Do you imagine?
Can you imagine? That'd be so great. It really would. I would quit my job.
Yeah. Okay. I don't need that negative energy discussed on this platform. All right. Well, let's get into the episode with Taylor. Taylor Loren is a content creator, marketing and branding expert with over 12 years of professional experience. As a freelance marketer, she has worked with clients across all industries, including e-commerce, media, and software as a service. In October 2021, she launched The Reels course, which has helped hundreds of students grow on Instagram. She also has organically grown Reels Tips to 280,000 followers in just a few months. Previously, she was head of marketing at Girl Boss, where she rebranded the company with a new mission and grew their Instagram by 300K in 9 months. Before that, she was director of content marketing at Later, where she successfully scaled the company to 3 million users. Later was acquired by Summit Partners in 2022. All right, let's get into the episode with Taylor. Welcome to the Follow Me podcast. Apologies for all the rescheduling and craziness. I think like everything that could have gone wrong happened when we were trying to get you on the podcast. For reference, Taylor was on our way to our office to record this when Jess and I were literally not even at the office. So there's a little bit of a drama that happened. Like, you don't understand how like much that spiraled me. I was unwell over that because I just like feel like I disappointed you. Like, I hate doing that to people. Like, it just felt so rude. And I was just like, ugh, I was so grossed out by myself.
And we know how valuable everyone's time is, like, truly.
Well, I appreciate it, but it's no big deal. And like, it worked out. I'm like home now. I'm like less frazzled. Get into this. I'm so excited. I feel like we've been Instagram friends or email friends for so long.
I know. And we worked together at Girl Boss and probably connected at Later at one point. But I mean, I think what we really want to hone in on today is how the heck do you grow on Instagram? We're so frustrated by Instagram. And for whatever reason, you've hacked it and you're like the queen of growth. And I'm just so impressed. So can we just start there? How do you grow? What do you do? Help.
It's
a loaded question.
It's like super accurate because it is really frustrating for people right now. But I'm still seeing that like Reels is such a great way to grow. So on one of my accounts, like at Reels Tips, we've gained, I think, almost like 20,000 followers in the last 2 weeks. And that's like an outlier case, right? Like that was, we had one reel that got over 2 million views. Obviously that's not happen all the time, but it's nice to see that those best practices of Reels really like growing your reach and converting people from just watching a funny reel or watching an educational reel to actually following you. Like that process still works. It's just probably working on like a less wildly impactful way than it was when like Reels just started.
Okay, so you're seeing a decline in that, but you're still pushing like if you want to grow on Instagram, you need to post Reels and you need to post them frequently, I imagine.
Yeah, because the thing that's so amazing about Reels is that they're the one surface, as Instagram likes to call it, that is shared out to both people that are following you and people who aren't following you. So you're able to really, like, the algorithm is doing the hard work of pushing your content out to people it thinks is your target audience and it thinks will like your content. So it's doing all of this hard work of kind of like cutting through the noise of just going out to everybody and instead going out to like people whose engagement on Instagram is reflected of something that the algorithm thinks they would then like your content. So I do think it's still really impactful. Yeah, it's not like when Reels first launched and you were seeing like so much extreme reach, but it's still really effective. And I still think we're still seeing like good reach numbers. It's just regulated a bit to be like normally good, not like blow your mind. Oh my gosh, amazingly good.
There's always like such a high spike when they first launch and then it kind of turns down into an equilibrium when everyone kind of catches on.
Yeah, because like what's the best way to get people to adopt your new feature is to like give them what they really want, which is like a lot of reach and engagement. So of course they're going to like prioritize and push that. I mean, we're still seeing, yeah, the pendulum is like swinging back now. And with that, the rise of the carousel, the photo dump is like really coming back in a strong way now too. I think that those features are really good for engagement and connecting with your existing audience. But if you're wanting to reach new people, Reels is going to be the easiest way to do that.
And do you have to post every day or twice a day or how many times a day?
No, I don't think there's like a secret formula or anything like that.
Really?
No, I don't. I think it's just ultimately like good content. There's a lot of, and the thing is too, is like, I talk about this in like my content strategy workshop, but creating content that's designed for reach for that top of your funnel, like that definitely has to be part of your strategy. Creating content that is designed to engage your existing followers, that's a part of your strategy. Creating content that's designed to sell or something like that is part of your strategy. But there's different optimizations that you can do to really convert people from watching that reel into actually following you if they're not already following.
Can you share some of those optimization tips that you chatted
Yes.
about?
Yes.
Jess and I are trying to go viral.
So when you are creating a piece of content that's really designed for top of funnel, you should be really intentional about it. You're like, okay, this is, you know, either something that's really funny or this is something that's really educational. I'm going to have a really, really catchy hook at the beginning to, you know, bring people in. And then this is a bit of a trope now, but it is an effective trope. And then, you know, after that catchy hook, using a couple seconds to just introduce yourself and what you do. So, you know, like if you were a financial creator, you know, having some catchy hook at the beginning about, you know, losing a bunch of money or something like that. And then being like, hey, I'm so-and-so. I'm like, I help you move your finances from blah to blah, like just a little line. And then you go into the rest of your content. And then at the end, having just a little call to action, you know, like follow me if you want to, I don't know, some buzzy word in there.
Get more tips or get more. Yeah.
Yeah. And there's ways to do it that aren't, that feel just like authentic and fun and upbeat and aren't this like trope that you see on TikTok a lot of the times where people are like, hey, if you, I am so-and-so, and they talk for so long about like what they are without like getting to the point, or it's just like, follow me for more at the end. Like that's a little like blah, but there's ways that you can like be creative about it and be fun. And so when you are creating that content, that's, you know, this is top of funnel, you know, this is something that you want to use to specifically get new followers, then having those little optimizations in there, call to action at the end, or maybe it's, you know, like download my free ebook or something. Every example I'm saying sounds really cheesy, yeah. But you,
I get what you're saying.
Yeah, we get it.
It's hard to like think of an example like top of mind of like how to do that before. I'm like, that was so weird. I'm sorry, I just said that. That seems like that's obviously makes sense for someone who like speaks to camera and like is able to do content like that. How about the creators that are more like the aesthetic vibey girls? Like, how do they create content that is like in this world, but not speaking to camera?
I think that a really great feature to use that is really underutilized on Reels right now is if you're creating that aesthetic, that vibey content, turn that video into a Reels template. So people can then click on your Reel and like they can recreate that same thing.
Is that in the settings? Like you can say like you make my.
Yeah.
Wow. And
yeah. So like on the Reels tip account, when we share trends now, we used to share like timing tutorials. Now we'll just make them into a template. So then people are encouraged to save your post because they want to reuse that or recreate it. And they're probably more inclined to maybe hit that follow button because if they like the vibe of your videos, they want to recreate that, they can follow you for like more inspo and stuff like that. So I think that's just like a really small little thing that you can do to.
Genius.
That's so interesting. And I did not even think about that truly. Because there's always like a call to action that we recommend in the caption if it's something vibey, because as a consumer, you need something to connect to it. I don't think we're past the Instagram where it's like, oh, we'll like something if it's just pretty. That is so smart because people still want the aesthetic vibe, but you don't really know how to recreate it. And like having a content creator kind of do the work for you. It's so interesting. It's a really good
tip. Yeah. And you also have to remember, like, yes, I totally agree about captions, but like that's if you're seeing it in the feed. If you're just scrolling through the Reels surface of Instagram, are you gonna likely like click to expand to read the whole caption? It's not the greatest like viewing experience sometimes as well. So but the used template will show up right there in the Reels algorithm. So I just think it's for those people who aren't already following you, who might not, you know, read that caption, but they're really going to see your vibey content and think that that's cool. It's a little, I mean, these are all little things, but it's like a little feature that pops up right there.
We need all the tips because like everyone's losing followers and we don't know what's going on. It's tragic over here. So
the apocalypse. Holly, are you off? Yeah.
No, I mean, I feel like the creators that we represent, the ones that are growing, like Raimi, for example, it's like, she is so consistent on Reels. She uses the viral sounds. She has the little hooks. Like she has such a method to it. And if like you follow it and you're consistent with it, it works. I think the people who are frustrated by Instagram right now, I don't know if they're leaning into like the tips you have on your account, Reels tips, or the things that people keep telling them, right? Because it does work. Have you seen people who follow you and clients of your workshop just like grow rapidly from using your tips?
Yeah, for sure. It's always great to see like the students and the course or things like that when they're posting their wins and they're like, oh, we just got, you know, hundreds of thousands of views on this reel. Or for some of them, like 10K views is amazing, right? And then they're like, oh, we got a bunch of new followers from it. They are gaining followers through that way. I think another reason that people might be losing followers right now is there's a big shift happening with Instagram that I'm kind of seeing, which is I feel like stories are slowly being phased out.
That is a hot take.
We're so used to consuming so much of our content on stories, right? Like I watch stories, I think, more than I'm scrolling through my feed and stuff like that. But a lot of the content that we create in our stories is very easily transferable to Reels. Maybe it's like 2-3 of the stories that you might post, that could be a reel. And when you look at, maybe this isn't true for everyone, but I would say for most people, when you look at your reach numbers of you on a story versus how many people it reached in the feed is going to be a lot higher, even if maybe those engagement numbers aren't as high, but the actual people seeing the content is probably going to be a lot higher than the actual people seeing your stories content. But we feel more inclined to like post on stories when really if we're wanting to like connect with our audience more, reach new people, it's kind of like shifting from stories to posting more in the feed. But we have this weird like relationship with Instagram where you feel like content has to be really good in order to post it to your feed.
Yeah. Oh
and God, yeah. That's the difference between Instagram and TikTok. Even if you look at it, difference between Gen Z and millennial, where TikTok, same video concept as Reels, you don't feel like you have to have everything like to that high of quality if you just could throw something up on TikTok. But my prediction or guess is that Instagram's really wanting to recreate that kind of vibe and get people not so concerned about having everything so perfect in their feed and on Reels. So the more we can move content out of stories into feed, I think that's really what's going to help people grow. But it's this weird feeling like.
Yeah, I feel like TikTok feels less serious because it.
Oh yeah. I'll post anything on TikTok. Like I've started doing tips on, I love to bring up my TikTok.
I've seen it.
Shout out TikTok, Allie Grant with no A. No, but like I do these tips, right? Like about monetizing as a creator on TikTok. Like I would die if I put that on my like Instagram reel because I feel like that's not an Instagram thing, right? But like I need to get that out of my head.
I feel like Instagram too feels more personal with family and friends too. Like for me personally, it's like my high school, people that I knew from high school have such a connection to Instagram because it derived off of Facebook. And so that's kind of the relationship I have with Instagram.
And it's like a messaging platform for me too. Like, you know, like I DM so many people, it's like a text messaging, like my family, my friends are all on Instagram. Like TikTok, it's just, it's the Wild Wild West. Oh my God, my gosh. But I mean, Jess too, like she is a TikToker as well. Like she will just like do her little get ready with me's or whatever. And then her Instagram, you post like once a year.
I know.
You treat it so differently.
For me, Instagram, that type of, it's not as fun for me. It truly isn't. Like I feel like TikTok, because it's so Wild Wild West and it's kind of crazy out there. It's kind of like, oh, I'll throw it up, whatever. I think too, I love the way you said about repurposing Instagram stories for Instagram reels, because to that point too, people take Instagram stories so seriously too, so that it would be appropriate for their reels. And I also think too, like reels is a great way for new eyeballs, but Instagram stories is for people that want to keep their community that they already have engaged. So that's a really interesting point of repurposing Instagram stories for reels. We always
Yeah, and it's a way that your content that you're already spending so much time on can live for longer, potentially like reach more people, bring you in followers, like creating all the stories content. But it's this very weird like mental block that a lot of us have. So you were saying like the creator that's really growing right now, like she's consistently posting those reels, she's posting to feed. And I think a lot of us for so long, it was like emphasis on stories, you know? And really now where things are changing and the way that people are viewing content, I just feel like Instagram's trying to push more of that stuff into feed content and trying to just make it be people not be scared to post in their feed. So it's this weird mental block though, because a lot of us are like, but I can't do that. Like I have to have everything perfect for my feed.
Like I mean, your Reels Tips account, like I feel like those reels are still like aesthetic though, right? Like they do look good. Like you have the nice graphics and the colors and all of that. Like, do you still recommend that people kind of have a brand attached to what they're, you know, putting on reels, or can you really just throw up whatever?
So I think that in the age of reels and TikTok, our face is like our new brand. It's like your face is the new handle. People used to be known by like what their handle is. And now so many, specifically TikTokers, people see them on the street. You're like, I don't actually know what that person's name is, but like I follow them on TikTok because with the video content everyone's seeing, your face is how they know you and not necessarily like your handle or whatever you're known for. So I think that like your literal person is the brand now a lot of the times, and like who you are and how you connect with people, that's really the most important thing with video content instead of the aesthetic of what everything looks like. And it's this weird shift. Like I'm trying to be better about posting more of my story stuff to Reels, and it's very difficult for like my brain.
For your personal account, your personal Instagram. Yeah.
Yeah. And even on Reels Tips too, like I have, you know, we're going to be launching the Reels Course 2.0 soon. So I'm kind of moving into like pre-launch mode with my content strategy there. And I'm like, I want to be showing up more, like have my face more, connecting more with my audience and stuff, not just in stories where I do that, but also like in the feed and sharing tips and stuff like that. So yeah, I think you should still have a brand, but I think it's like Gen Z now, like I watched some of their TikToks and I'm like, whoa, this editing style is so different than anything I would do. It looks cool. It's super messy. It's very chaotic. It's all over the place. And, you know, it's in 0.5, and which is like a lower quality of video.
Do you think there's like a different method to the madness for accounts? Like let's say for your personal account and you're trying to grow your personal account versus, you know, you were talking about doing like a pre-launch content strategy. Like what are some crossways where there are similar tips that you can share? And what are some differentiators for people too? Like, because a lot of people who listen here too are, you know, on the brand side, or we also have like influencers who are obviously, they're their own brand, but their face.
Yeah, I think that a lot of the content that's created on Reels Tips is very top of funnel. It's designed to increase our reach, increase our engagement, get new followers. That's the phase that we've been in. Moving into a pre-launch mode, say like 2 months, 1 month, 2 months out from launch, that's going to be more focused on engaging the existing followers that we have. That's going to be more focused on like providing really great education and tips and like, hey, did you know you can do this editing thing, or like just sharing a lot more in-depth type of education content. And that's to really like build that community, build that familiarity with who I am as an educator, make people feel like they're a little bit more invested in the account so that when we do go into the course, it's not just like, hey, I was getting like cool templates from you guys and now you're trying to like sell me a course. Like, why do I need a course? So it's kind of just like laying that foundation work. On the flip side, like on my personal account, I feel like I do a lot of content that's for my existing followers. It's engagement oriented. I do less content that's top of funnel that's designed for growth. So I need to kind of like invert those two strategies and do a bit more content on my personal channel that's all around, that's really just designed for growth instead of just for the people that already follow me.
Do you think that every founder of a company should be active on social media?
I don't think that every founder has to be, but I think it's like a really great opportunity. I think a lot of like for yourself as a person, if you want to have like a personal brand, like, well, that's amazing. It's great for like the diehard customers to follow you, get to connect, have that, you know, kind of like personal connection. Like all of my audience really started because I was like the face of Later when I worked there, like the Instagram marketing platform. So people followed me because I was like the face of the brand and I was the one like writing the blog posts and all the videos, and they wanted kind of like this behind the scenes view into what life later was like, you know. But at the same time, you can't really like force somebody to do it if they're really uncomfortable. Like if they don't have the personality, it'll just turn out like really bad. So if the founder isn't someone that's like comfortable being on camera, like maybe someone else on the team that's really invested and isn't just like an employee that might leave in a year or something, maybe there's somebody else on the team that can be that role for a while, you know?
I feel like we're in such an era of like consumers want to know who is behind the company, the people that work there, the people who are behind it, all of that. So I think social media is such a good way to put them in front of the camera and like share that brand story. Who is that girl we really like, Jess? The Rare Beauty CMO, Katie Welch.
Yeah.
Katie. Yeah. So she's the CMO, but she's just prolific on her TikTok creating content. And just like, it obviously drives business for Rare and kind of her personal brand and all of that. And I feel like it's just brilliant. And I think I feel like such a missed opportunity for someone like myself who like never really took advantage of that until like 6 months ago when I started TikToking. But like, what a missed opportunity. And I feel like I'm just seeing it more and more people. Like who's the founder of Set Active? Like, you know,
yes,
she,
that's what I was thinking about.
Yeah. Like she's so good about, like, she has a podcast and she's creating content about behind the scenes, and it's smart marketing, right? Like,
yeah. Cause on the flip side, Ali, I think like I originally followed like you, and that's how I then, like, I don't know how I found, maybe you're tagged in something years and years ago, but then that's how I like found out about Be Social. So it works, but that was like a really long time ago.
Yeah. Don't age us. Well, okay. This was incredible in terms of like tips and stuff, but obviously people need to follow Reels Tips because you're putting out tons of content there. You're prolific on it, but you also have something called a like Reels course. Can you like share what that is and how that helps people?
Yeah. So it's called the Reels course. We're launching the Reels course 2.0 soon, which I've already filmed. And that's basically a course to help you be successful on Reels. But it's beyond just like how to use certain features. Like we really do a lot of case studies. We have different creators that will be in the course. And so I'll give you an example. Let's talk about like green screens. So when we, instead of just teaching you, okay, this is how, you know, you create a green screen video, which a lot of people, you know, need help with, and this is how you can optimize it. We also go into like the best practices behind video storytelling using green screen and how you can like optimize your videos with green screen to be the most impactful. So we like give you like the technical knowledge, but also then the strategy behind how to actually like do it more effectively. Cause there is like a bit of a formula that I would say for success on green screen. So we go through that through all aspects of video storytelling. So it's called the Reels course, but it is definitely applicable to like any short form video content. And the second version of the course, I really wanted to really emphasize the power of like storytelling through video and other kind of like film school best practices. So it's kind of like a mini film school, but for reels.
Ooh, I love that. I feel like we could talk offline, but like figure out a way that we can get this course in front of our talent. Half of probably the people we rep are like native to digital. So they like started on social, they get social, but some are like more traditional talent that happened to grow a following because they were on a TV show or whatnot. And I feel like something like this could be super helpful for them, make them sit down and watch it on like how they can grow.
Yeah. And we have like different levels in the course. So, you know, we say like, okay, this, you know, first level, like if you're already creating reels and your experience with it and stuff, this probably isn't applicable to you. You can skip to the next one. Or when we talk about, yeah, going back to the example of like green screen or like a talking head video or a get ready with me video, like we have different levels for those. I think our video on get ready with me is really cool. We look at a lot of case studies of people who have successful get ready with me videos. And like, you realize that to make a good get ready with me, you're not just sitting down and filming yourself getting ready. Like you're plotting out what each bullet point are, what the frames are, like what action you're doing for each one. And I think a lot of, you know, people just watching social media don't realize it. But when I studied like a lot of get ready with me videos, you can pull out the similarities and like what kind of formula. So I try and make like a bit of a formula for each like different type of video that you see, same with like vlogs and things like that. And then we have different levels in there of like an intro to vlogs and then more advanced tips for vlogs. So depending on your experience level, you can kind of find what's right for you. So it's not too overwhelming and it's not too beginner.
Mm-hmm. And do people pay like a one-time fee to like be involved, or does it work?
Yeah, it's just like a one-time fee or a payment plan. And then you get like lifetime access to the course. So all of my students that were in the Reels Course 1.0, they'll be able to jump into the Reels Course 2.0. And then what we're doing for the first time, which I'm really excited about, it's going to be like a live cohort over a few weeks. You can join everyone will like, there'll be a deadline. You can join the course. And then, you know, each week we'll have like a Zoom call with different guests, or we'll kind of like look at the assigned parts of the course for that time. Because the thing with online courses is like a lot of people, and I'm guilty of this too, they'll sign up for a course, they'll be excited for it, they'll pay for it, and then they'll like never take it, or they'll start it and they won't finish it. So I wanted to do something that not only like held people accountable to like, you know, actually executing these goals they wanted to do, but to like make it more helpful too, in case you have like questions or something like that. So, you know, the week that's all about editing, we'll have like a session that's all about editing and like go through.
Yeah, that's so smart. But I kind of want to chat through too, like you were a corporate girly. You worked at Later, which is a software. Then you went to Girl Boss. I want to talk about your journey of like leaping to be own entrepreneur and freelancer. And I mean, what do you call yourself now? You're a business owner and influencer. Is that kind of the right way to put it?
Yeah, it's so weird. And there's so many things. Like I was doing a bunch of like consulting, and then I was like contracting, and then I've stopped that. So I've just kind of like given up on giving myself a job title. And it's really also like the seasons of life and what I'm feeling. Like now I haven't been doing any contract work for 9 months, and now I'm kind of like feeling that itch again. Cause I am like a corporate girly at heart, I guess, like marketing girly. And I'm like,
what decks can I work on? What strategy can I work on?
Yeah, I kind of miss like marketing a product that isn't myself, if that makes sense, you know? Like I'm like, I want to do some like brand work kind of thing. So I feel like I can just ebb and flow as what I'm feeling like in different stages of my life from now on.
Well, maybe you can help be social with like our strategy as an agency. I feel like that has been just, it's a hard one to like, it's like we're in this business, but like the last thing we think about is like marketing, be social. You know what I mean?
That's like, but that's for everybody.
Yeah. Like this problem it's I like, have is for me. Yeah.
Like it's yeah. Actually, it's cool to see, I guess, more of it on TikTok now, but like the really good, a lot of the really good social people, the really good marketers, they don't have their own social presence. They're not the ones that are like in front of the camera to teach people things, because they're doing that all day long. And the last thing they want to do in their free time is like create more social content. Right. So
yeah. Burnout for sure. Do you ever have regrets like leaving corporate life and starting your own business?
No, I don't. I'm so happy. I think it was such a good move for me. I did kind of chicken out. Like I left later and I was like, I'm going to be a freelancer or be self-employed. And then a few months later, I ended up joining Girl Boss. So then I was like, okay, this is what I'm doing now. But then when I left Girl Boss, then I was like, okay, I'm in this for real. Like, this is what I set up to do a year ago. I'm going to do it now. And yeah, like for me, the most important thing is just like having control over my own schedule and not having to like sit behind a desk for 8 hours a day is something that I really like. And so, yeah, it's fun. I mean, but that being said, like last year I had an absolutely like wildly incredible revenue year. Like I probably made like double what my corporate salary was. But then like this year is, it's not happening in the same way. And I wonder why that is. Brand partnerships are just not coming in like they used to.
For like your personal account?
Yeah. 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 Like that was a huge, I never did any partnerships. And then last year I had like so many. So that became like the biggest chunk of my revenue.
Okay.
But that's why it's so great to have like multiple revenue streams, because then I was like, you know, beginning of this year, like I launched my content calendar template for Notion. I launched my content strategy workshop and I was able to then like bring in revenue that like I would have had $0, you know, because just to be dependent on brand partnerships. So those have been really good. And it's great to have my courses, my workshops, my templates, and then also do brand partnerships and just have like multiple revenue streams.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I think there's always an up and flow to this.
Yeah.
Business, right?
Yeah. And I'm not, I've really, the biggest change to like becoming self-employed and working for yourself, whether it's as a business owner, as a creator, is just like not to operate in that like scarcity mindset. Like I've really, really had to learn how to have an abundance mindset, because if you don't, like you're just going to be stressed all the time.
That is such a good piece of advice. I feel like when I started my business, I was always scarcity mindset. And I think that's because I'm just like an anxious person, I guess. And I always think the worst versus the most positive outcome. And I think when you have a company and that's like how you make money and you employ people, it's always like, I was always saying yes to so many things, too many things, and then you get burned out and then you don't produce the best work. And so having that mindset, you said abundance mindset, is that what it is? Yeah.
Yeah. So it's just like, you know, there's things are going to come to me. There's enough of everything to go around, instead of just feeling like I have to take this project, because if I don't take this project, then, you know, I may not have work for next month or something like that. And it's not something you want to do. And then maybe you take it and then you're not, then, you know, next week a cooler project comes around. You can't do it now because you just committed to something that you didn't really want to do just because it'll give you money. And like, that's why I've always like been so, like, I really emphasize how important saving is, because then you're able to like make decisions that are, you know, best for your life. So for me, like I took most of March off of social media because I was just in like a really low mental health space, and then a lot of April off too. And I was able to do that because, and not like force myself to keep creating content and force myself to do all this stuff, because I had savings I could rely on. So I think like that also helped. Like it's just a realistic part of like also operating of like an abundance mindset. You know, if you're negative dollars, then you can't just like say no to anything.
Right, right. So you have to say yes. Yeah. I mean, I think too, for me, that abundance mindset, I don't know. I just feel like I'm still to this day, like, Jess and I always talk about this. Like, we always think of the negative outcomes in situations. I don't know, like, how you get over that, regardless of savings or regardless of it's, I don't know what it is.
Okay. So you should read the book.
Okay. I was going to say, do you have a resource to help me? Send help.
Do you have tips for us?
Yeah.
Like, is it sitting right here somewhere? Yeah. There's a book called Scarcity. Actually,
what a great name.
But yeah. And it just goes through like a lot of like statistics and stuff like that of like how we, yeah, like operate in this scarcity mindset. And like, oh, there's a lot of the things that like, you know, manifestation, all that stuff, not to get like super woo woo, but like your mindset can ultimately like create your reality. So if you're operating in that scarcity mindset a lot of times, and you're not thinking that there's enough out there or whatever, like I think a lot of people who get competitive on social media are operating in a big scarcity mindset.
Ooh, that's
because they think that there's not enough people to go around, or like that this person is similar to me. And like, when really, if someone's like really into a specific niche, like they're probably following like 10 people in that category, you know?
Yeah.
Like, so there's enough people and eyeballs to go around, would be like thinking in an abundance mindset, versus scarcity is like, oh, we're fighting over the same people.
Yeah, about your competition or people who, you know what I mean? Then you can just be like, focus on you, your work, there's enough to go around. That's just like my new motto, honestly.
I think also too, that comes from a self-esteem thing. Like when I feel most like in the scarcity mindset, it's like, oh, was I not good enough for this project? Or am I not doing the best that I can? And I think that abundance mindset, you're confident with your skill set, with what you're doing and where you're at.
Mm-hmm. And it's a good way to decide for creators, especially like to navigate, or anyone, what you say yes and what you say no to. Because I think a lot of creators will just say yes to brand partnerships that don't align with their values, like their community, their audience, just because they're afraid to say no, which is, I think, such a bad way to handle it, right? Like you have to have the abundance mindset and hope that the next brand deal that comes to you will be the right one for you, even if you said no to something previously.
Yeah, you just have to trust that those emails are going to keep coming into your inbox. Like do the, you know, like focus on you, do great, like focus on your content, and then you just have to, you know, trust. And so like this winter, I was like really trying to stay in that mindset, you know, and then as soon as like April came around and it was like the beginning of Q2, like a lot of those emails came into my inbox, you know, so it was just trusting that that's
in the process. I never trust the process. I'm like, to like micromanage the process to make sure.
Make sure the process happens the way that I want it to. Yeah,
exactly. Well, Taylor, this was amazing. Where can people follow you?
Okay, they can follow me on Instagram at taylor.loren or at reelstips. And why does everyone have like different TikTok handles? That's so annoying.
I know.
My TikTok is at Taylor_Loren_. Close, but not fully there.
Wow, lots of underscores. Was Taylor Loren taken?
There's like so many. And they're not even... Project. Yeah.
Not even active. They're not even famous.
So too bad.
You should do TikTok tips or something like that. Have you just like thought about that?
Yeah, I feel like it's so... Well, then here, there's this me operating in a scarcity mindset. I've been like, oh, it's already such a crowded space on TikTok.
There's room for everyone, Taylor.
Yes, no, that's a good thought for sure.
Yeah, well, I would follow it because I'm trying to get followers over there. So anyways, this was amazing. Thank you for coming on. Bye.